Good morning and happy Mother's Day to all our mothers out there. Really appreciate my mother and my wife and just thankful to have them. And this message is dedicated to the Lord first, but also to all the mothers out there. If you will, please turn to John chapter 2. I've noticed as I've gotten older that I'm starting to tell stories over and over again. So some of these I faintly remember saying before, so please excuse me if some of this is on repeat. John chapter 2, verse 1. On the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Now there were there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water," and they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast," and they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom. And he said to him, "Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now. This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him." Okay, my goal today is to look through these stories, not word by word, but through the eyes of Mary and thinking of trying to get into her mind. I'm obviously not a mother, but I have a mother. So I'm trying to think about what she went through as she was raising Jesus. One thing that I see here in verse 3 is that she recognized a need. She recognized a need. She told Jesus, "They have no wine." And I think about possibly in today's world, maybe going to a wedding and serving the cake, and you have 200 people at the wedding, but you only have enough cake for 100 people. And thinking about how embarrassing that would be to the family. In present day culture, it's normally the wife's family that pays for the wedding and things like that. In this culture, it was normally the men's, the husband's family that would supply this. So that would be very embarrassing to the family to run out of wine or food or something during the feast. Some of these wedding feasts would last up to a week. So they were running low on wine. They didn't have any wine. And I just noticed here that Mary recognized the need. She didn't want, it could have been a friend, it could have been a relative, but she felt bad for them and she saw the need for more wine. The second thing, if you're looking verse 4 and 5, now, it comes across a little bit harsh, but it's more from what I've studied. Instead of woman, like we would say, maybe in a derogatory manner, it's more like, "Ma'am, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." So Jesus was on a time schedule spiritually, and it didn't maybe line up perfectly with what Mary was thinking about, physical, about the wine. His was more of a spiritual timeline, and he was saying, "My hour is not yet come." But notice that he went ahead and performed it, but he didn't do it out like in public where everybody saw it. Only the servants saw it. So he wasn't ready to show everyone his glory. That wasn't the time that his father had set for him. He did show the servants there, and his disciples did see that, and it says that they believed. But verse 5 is what I want to focus on through Mary's eyes, and just thinking about the mothers. I'm not trying to put, my mom earlier today said, please don't, or a preacher at her church had asked his daughter or mother, said, "What do you preach? What should I preach on today?" And they said, "Please don't preach on Proverbs 31," because they said that that was putting too much pressure on the women to live up to it. So, as I go through here, it's not to put pressure on anyone. It's just to see Mary's through Mary's eyes how she handled it, and to encourage y'all that from what I see as my mother and my wife, that I see a lot of these same things in you, and I want to encourage you in that. So in verse 5 it says, his mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it. Whatever he says to you, do it." So Mary just left it in the hands of Jesus and told the servants, "Whatever he tells you, to do it." And I was just thinking about this key point. Mary told the servants, "Whatever he says, do it." What great advice. Has your mother ever told you, "Whatever Jesus tells you to do, do it. Whatever he says, do it"? I think about the mothers of missionaries. I think about Miss Karen when Wayne and Hillary went overseas and she didn't get to see her grandchildren very often. And others, I thought about John Kinlaw and his family. They just pick up and move to other side of the world, and they're not able to see their mother. Their mother's not able to see their grandchildren and their children. And how even though that hurts them and they miss them, that they say, if that's what the Lord's will is for your life, then please go ahead and do it. So that's what it made me think of, that do we have mothers that even if it's tough, they're willing to say, whatever Jesus says, even though I'm going to be lonely, I'm going to miss you, I'm going to miss my grandchildren, please go ahead and do it. So that's the first point that I wanted to make, is she knew there was a need, and she knew who to go to, and she said, whatever he says to do, do it. Okay, if you will, please, we're going to be jumping around a little bit. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. So first we saw Mary's faith. She knew who to go to and knew he could do something about it. Even though Mary was, of course, his mother, she had faith in him as God's son and her Savior. Luke chapter 1, we're looking at Mary's obedience. Verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born shall be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be done according to your word." And the angel departed from her. So we see here Mary's obedience. We see here it says, "Let it be according to your word. Whatever you say, I'll do it." Even though she didn't understand everything. They say from my studying that probably they're betrothed girls at, believe it or not, 12 and a half years old. They're betrothed to be married. So she was probably between 13 and 15 years old. So if you can imagine that, how young that is, and for an angel to come and say, "You're going to have the Son of God as your baby boy," what kind of pressure that would be. I was just thinking, Mary was not going to have an easy life. I just thought about some of the things that she had to do, just from being 9 months pregnant, having to walk from Nazareth to Bethlehem, depending on which way you could go, it could be from 70 to 90 miles. Could take from 4 probably to 7 days to get there, 9 months pregnant. She was probably walking or riding on a donkey. They say riding on a donkey is even slower because they're kind of stubborn. You have to pull them along or act like you're pulling. They really do what they want to do. And then the kicker, when she finally gets there to Bethlehem, she finds out that Joseph forgot to make the reservation. So I was just thinking about myself, thinking about this. I wouldn't say you would exactly call this a honeymoon, but just imagining doing this to my wife, Lisa, it might not go over too well. 9 months pregnant, walking 70 to 90 miles, and then not having a reservation. So she wasn't going to have the easiest life. It's kind of started off, even here, kind of rough. So I just want you to think about your mom. At the very least, just think about carrying you for up to 9 months and being willing to take on that extra weight, maybe getting sick. I know a lot of ladies get morning sickness, and they're willing to go through that for us, to have us. And it's just amazing to see our next-door neighbor, Amelia Yarborough, just had her baby in the last couple weeks, and just seeing the sleepless nights, feeding the baby, and the baby's restless and not sleeping through the night and things like that, and just thinking about what our mothers went for us. And not bragging, but I was 10 pounds and 4 ounces. So I'm thankful for my mom just being willing to have me. So it's a blessing that Mary was obedient. And just thinking about the key point here is that how many of our mothers are willing to go through a tough life for us and make a way for us. And then the reason, just to backstop a little bit, I'm going through the book of John, and I did skip over a few of the last, I think it's 3 messages already in chapter 1. So I skipped over some of, calling some of his disciples at the end of chapter 1. My brother Tim spoke on that a little bit on Wednesday night. And then I saw chapter 2 was starting off with Mary, so that's why we started in John chapter 2, if you were wondering. And then if you look forward just a little bit in Luke chapter 1, verse 46, thinking about Mary's thankfulness, thinking about how she was thankful. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant, for behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." So we see here that Mary was thankful. Yes, she was going to have some tough things she was going to go through, even tougher than walking 90 miles. We'll see at the end that she had to go through. But she was going through some tough things. She said, "Let it be according to your word." And then here it says, Mary understood who God was and thanked him for the great things he had done for her. I'm sure many of our mothers thank God for what he has done in their lives, maybe even including having us as children. That may be one of the things they're thankful for. But I just see in my own mother's life and my wife's life how thankful they are for God, for Jesus Christ, for what he's done. And I see the same thing here in Mary, that she was thankful for the great things that God was going to do through her in having this amazing child. So Mary had faith. Mary was obedient, and Mary was thankful. The next thing I'd like to look at is Mary's priorities. If you'll turn to Luke chapter 2, verse 21. Luke 2:21. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child Jesus, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now when the days of her purification, this was about 40 days for a male, it was 40 days of purification for a, if you had a girl, it was 80 days. 40 days of purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed. They brought him, talking about Jesus, to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. So I see here just two things. Even though it wasn't required for Joseph and Mary to do this because Jesus was the Son of God, he was sinless, he was going to be sinless, they went ahead and followed the law. On the eighth day, they followed through with circumcision. And then on the 40th day, they went and presented him to the Lord. And I was just thinking the priority that they made, that Mary made, and I have to give Joseph a little bit of credit here, but our focus today is Mary, that was a priority to her, was her relationship with God and the law, following the law, following what she knew to be God's word. And I was just thinking about the priorities that our mothers have and how thankful I am that I had a mother that took me to a local church to learn about Jesus. I thought about my own wife, Lisa, the importance she had to remember the Lord here at Reidsville Bible Chapel when we got married almost 30 years ago. And then one big example I thought about was Ms. Ann, Ms. French Fawcett. They lived in Danville, and there wasn't a local assembly there in Danville at the time. And she got up early on Sunday mornings and took Troy and Lisa and Craig from Danville to Shannon Hills in Greensboro, 45 minutes to an hour drive. And that showed the importance to them at an early age of remembering the Lord. So just the priorities that our mothers have, and I know I'm speaking from personal testimony, but I see it also in the ladies here, the priority that this local assembly is to each one of them and to their children, that they want their children to learn to remember the Lord at an early age. What a blessing that is to have a mother that has that priority. Okay, next, if you'll go back a little bit, Mary's pondering about thinking about things that she's going through. If you can imagine being 14 and all this being thrown on her. So she's learning as she goes. She heard from the angel. She knew some of this, what was happening, but a lot of it was probably overwhelming to her. So if you look at Luke 2:17, now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told to them concerning this child. This is the shepherds. And all those who heard it marveled at those things that they were talking about, that this baby was going to be the Savior of the world, which were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. When she heard this from the shepherds, yes, she knew this, and now this is a reminder to her, but it's a lot to take in, I would expect, for a young girl like this to be having the Son of God to just be born, and now hearing the shepherds have heard from the angels, this is going to be the Savior of the world. And then dropping down to verse 49, and he said to them, why do you seek me? Do you not know that I must be about my Father's business? But they did not understand this statement which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them, but his mother kept all these things in her heart. So pondered them in her heart and kept all these things in her heart. This is when he was 12 years old. We'll get to this in a minute. And he was in the temple, and he was learning and maybe even teaching some of the best teachers of that day in Jerusalem. And she was just like, what is happening? A 12-year-old, and he's in there with these great teachers. What is happening? So she's thinking and pondering about this. So it seems to me that Mary was a very reflective person. She was still trying to figure everything out about her son. I wonder if our mothers ponder and reflect about us. Probably in my case, sometimes in not too good of a way, thinking, what in the world is he doing? But as a father, I can remember just a little bit of Jenna and Jacob. I just remember when they came home from the hospital and they were wrapped up in a blanket and just sleeping, and I would just sit there and watch them and just watching their chest go up and down, and how in amazement I was and thankful that God had given me these children. And just thinking about it, pondering it, and being thankful. And I can just imagine that mothers are the same way when they look at their children and they just watching them grow up and thinking about how they move and how they think and how they do things, that they're just thinking and pondering about this precious gift from God and thinking about their children. So I think Mary's not alone when she's pondering, reflecting about her children. I'm sure that my mother, everybody's mother, is doing the same thing. This next one is about Mary's busyness, and I just wanted to do a shout out to the homeschool mothers. Y'all are finally being appreciated. These last 2 or 3 months, I've heard it over and over and over again from ladies that are not used to homeschooling, that are pulling their hair out. So y'all could probably give a lesson on how y'all do it. I am amazed how many of the ladies here at the chapel have done this for years and years and years, and now the rest of the world is getting to see what it's like, and it's not that easy. So even though personally I wasn't homeschooled, to the homeschool mothers, thank y'all for what you're doing. People are finally realizing what a big and a tough job y'all had. So this is about Mary's busyness. If you look at Mark chapter 6, verse 3, it's just one verse if you just want to listen. Mary had 4 other sons and at least 2 daughters to care for. Excuse me, I got ahead of myself. Mark 6, 3, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? So they were offended at him. So the backdrop of the story is not what I'm focusing on, but they were saying, how can this be the Messiah when he's got brothers and sisters, and we knew him when he grew up, we know his mom, that he's the son of Mary. So just thinking about Mary, not only was she raising the Son of God, she had at least, by my count, 4 sons. And it says daughters, they're not named, but it's plural, so at least 2 more, so it could be 6 or more. I was just thinking about that, how busy she must have been caring for these children. I think about my own grandmother had, her mother had 11 daughters and 1 son. And I was thinking about our brother Ray and Miss Ruthie, they're about halfway there, so as far as the daughters, that we can't realize how busy these mothers are with all of these children that they're caring for and they're loving on and helping with. So that just makes me appreciate them that much more. And let us, other children, when we see that, let us fall in and pitch a hand in and help them out. Not just watch them do everything, do all the dishes and the vacuuming and the cleaning and everything, but help us jump in and help them out to show how much we appreciate them, that they're busy and they just keep on and keep on and keep on staying up at night. When you get somebody that's sick, normally it's the mother that stays up with the child. And just how much we appreciate y'all mothers for loving us unconditionally when we're not that lovable. Our noses are running, our diapers need changing, and y'all were willing to do those dirty jobs because you loved us. So thinking about Mary's busyness and how our mothers today are also busy. Next is about Mary's, she's not perfect, so I had to put this in here to make sure we know that. Mary's forgetfulness and lack of understanding. Luke chapter 2, verse 41. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." So just a couple of stories here, and I'm 99.9% sure I've told this one before, but I'm going to tell it again. Is Lisa and I went home one day to after chapel service, after about 12 o'clock. We went home getting ready to eat, and we got a phone call and said, "Did you forget something?" And we looked and said, "No, we've got our Bible. What are you talking about? What have we forgot?" "You left Jacob at the chapel." I think it was our brother Dave, and thankful that he stayed with him till we did come back and get him. So that's one personal experience that I've done. So I kind of understand Joseph and Mary. What one possible thing you could say, well, how can that happen? How can you leave Jerusalem and not have your kids with you? One possible thing is that the women and children left first, because not that the women were slow, but that they were caring for the children. So that was kind of slower, and then the men would maybe stay in Jerusalem a little bit longer, and then they would catch up. That's one possible thing. So Joseph thought Mary had Jesus. Mary thought Joseph had Jesus, and neither one of them had Jesus. That particular time, I'm going to blame it on Miss French. We thought Miss French had Jacob that day. We would kind of eat lunch together, and the kids loved riding with their grandmother, especially if she was in the Jeep, and they would jump in the Jeep. This time they did not jump in the Jeep. They were still here. This next one I probably shouldn't even say, but I've got an awesome mom, but I'm going to tell this one on her real quick. When I was 5 years old, I was in a church school, First Baptist. My mom was a kindergarten teacher, and then Ms. Dickens was my personal 5-year-old teacher, kindergarten teacher. We went to the big house on Richardson Drive. One of my classmates, that was his house. He had the big house. We had a smaller house, but anyway. So we were going to the big house. We thought we were something. So me and one of my buddies, Pat Payne, were playing hide-and-go-seek in it. And when we found out we weren't found, we looked around and everybody was gone. So it wasn't technically, I always blame this on my mom, but I'm not going to do it today because it's Mother's Day. It was technically Miss Dickens was supposed to check off me and Pat Payne. But always when I'm telling the story, say my mom left me in the big house on Richardson Drive. So it can happen. Mary was not perfect. And believe it or not, sometimes our moms are not perfect. They make mistakes. So let's not harper like I'm doing right now. Let's forget about it and not make them feel bad about it. And one of the main things is let's be thankful if they came back to pick us up. So I'm thankful that they did come back and get me. Okay, the next thing I want to look at is Mary's humility. And I told Brother Steve I was going to try to let y'all out early, so I'm going to rush through these. Mary's humility and understanding, Matthew 12, 46 through 50. While he was still talking to the multitudes, behold, his mother and brothers stood aside, seeking to speak with him. Then one said to him, "Look, your mother and brothers are standing outside seeking to speak with you." But he answered and said to the one who told him, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" And he stretched out his hand toward the disciples and said, Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." Jesus was teaching here that our spiritual family supersedes our physical family. But we do not read about Mary being offended. She must have understood. She was part of both families, so she didn't take it to heart. Think about the humility and the understanding that our mothers have shown us when we might say something that might have hurt their feelings. So we're thankful for our mother's humility and their understanding with us, even though Jesus here is saying the right thing. If Mary would have overheard that, possibly maybe could have hurt her feelings, even though, of course, this was nothing that Jesus was doing wrong here. He was telling the truth. Next, Mary's pain, Luke 2, 33 through 35. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Just thinking here, imagine the pain and agony of Mary watching her son be crucified. The closest thing I can get to it, just recently on February 26th, watching my dad in his last days struggle before he was called home to be with the Lord. So that was rough enough. I wouldn't want anyone to go through it. But I can't even with that, I can't imagine a mother watching a son be crucified. And thinking about that, the pain that she went through. And this was predicted by Simeon. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also. So just thinking about a sword piercing her heart, her soul also, as she watched her son be crucified on that cross for you and for me, and also for her sin as well. Also, just some things that I picked up that maybe I haven't thought about before. Here she is most likely a widow. I'm going to go ahead and read this next part to show you. John 19:25. "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother," so she was there, "and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' Then he said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.' And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home." So I think here you can see that Joseph, her husband, was probably dead. He was probably maybe 20, 25, 30 years older, and he was not there. He's not talking about after they left Jesus at the temple. You don't hear about Joseph anymore. So sometime between Jesus being 12 and probably 30, he died. So she was a widow. She was watching this by herself. And Jesus, from the cross, showed compassion on his mother and said, "This is your son," talking about John, his best friend John, and telling John, "This is your mother." So even while he was up there dying for my sin, for your sin, for his mother's sin, he was still caring for her and saying, "John, take care of my mom. Mom, this is your new son that's going to take care of you." At this time, it's believed that his brothers did not believe in him. His four brothers that we talked about, they did not believe in him, and so they weren't there. And so what I wanted to think here is that we need to pray and support our mothers here and that we know that have lost children. Mary went through it. I can't imagine it. We need to pray and support mothers that have lost children. And then, I don't know if I've ever seen this one before, Acts 1:12 through 14. Reading my Bible too fast, I guess, but Acts 1:12, "Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet." This is after Jesus had ascended after 40 days and he ascended back to heaven, "which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers." So here at this prayer meeting, in this upper room prayer meeting, his mother is there. After she was there when he was born, basically she was there and when he was in her womb from the cradle to the grave and then the ascension. Not sure if she actually saw the ascension or not, but she was there right before the church began. She was up there in the prayer room, the upper room, praying with his disciples, and it says here with his brother. So just a side note, how happy she probably was to see now that her children, her other children, were coming to salvation because they were there and they were there praying. My mom, personal mom told me yesterday that she had been praying for me and my brother to be saved, for us to marry Christian wives, and for her, our children, her grandchildren to be saved. So I'm just so thankful to have a sincerely praying mother. I've been blessed with that and so thankful to have a mother that prayed. And in closing, I'd like to, they told this other preacher not to preach on this, but this is only the good stuff here. Proverbs 1, all of it's good, but no pressure here. Proverbs 31:28, her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the blessings that you've given to us. We thank you first and most of all for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for the example of Mary and how she was a young mother, she had some characteristics that made her a good mother. And we thank you for her, and we thank you for the characteristics that we see in our own mothers. And we praise you and thank you for them, the mothers that you have given to us. And I pray that you will help us to love and to honor them the way that we should. In Jesus' name, amen.